Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Let's get to Nicole Livingston. The AFLW fixtures were launched today and Nicole is the General Manager of Women's Footy. It's nice to have her on the program again. Welcome, Nicole. How are you going?
I'm very, very good. I'm relieved we've got our fixture out and all steam ahead now to the AFLW.
Have you been a little bit nervous, though, up until this point? Have you had to tinker with things a little bit? How has it really been? Come on.
Well, you know, the original tinker is moving it to January, right? So we had identified starting in December, a little clearer, being able to wrap the season up before the AFL competition comes in, so we didn't have to, you know, have fans choosing between men's and women's football. And, you know, the first tinkering was moving that to January. So, look, I think the thing that we've learned over the last couple of years, and it's not just in sport, it's business, it's community, everybody has to be able to be adaptable. And, you know, footy finds a way, you know that. You've been part of that this year with an amazing grand final in the men's competition in WA. So, women's footy is finding a way, and just pleased that we've got the fixture out rounds 1 to 9 of 10 home and aways for 2022.
Nicole, yesterday the NBL released their policy around COVID and what happens if a player does contract COVID. They need at least 8 players to continue. What about for the AFLW players? Has that been spoken about, that if there is COVID and an outbreak within the team, what is going to be the number for that game to persist with?
Yeah, we've certainly talked about thresholds, and one of the things that we've put in place this year is whilst our clubs have 30 players on their list and our on-field is 16 plus 5, we've actually got another 10 train-on players that are working with each of the 14 clubs throughout the pre-season, so they can be elevated as train-on players if necessary. So a lot of discussion has gone around that. We have a 10-week home and away, 3-week finals. It's a short and sharp season. So we do want to protect the season whilst also doing the right thing by our players, our clubs and the broader community as well. So our preference is to get these games away, but we'll do it safely. And if we need to elevate players from train-ons, then we'll look to do that. But in terms of those exact specifics, we've still got 5 weeks to go. So I guess whilst we're planning, we're also just waiting for the moment.
The border restrictions here in the West make it quite difficult to put a fixture together. We know that. Fremantle play their first 2 games here, West Coast their first 3. Then they're on the road for 3 weeks. Are they travelling all together for that whole 3-week period where they're outside of Western Australia? And how was that received by both clubs?
Well, we've been in really constant contact with both Fremantle and West Coast to work through what their individual needs were. And you're right, the 2 different clubs sort of requested different periods of time back at home. I look at Fremantle, and as an example, they've got a lot of teachers as players because our players are still part-time as well. So, you know, there was discussion around, well, this is when the school year starts. It'd be great to be able to be, you know, at least back for the teachers. So they'll be on the road once they get their initial games away in WA. They'll be on the road for about 15 to 16 days, and during that period of time they'll get 3 games completed. So we've got very, very good, strong, robust protocols around the competition and also a really strong testing regime as well. So that's something we're definitely heavily investing in to protect, again, the players, the clubs and the wider community.
One fixture that caught my eye was GWS playing Fremantle at Fremantle Oval, round 2, so January 16. How is that possible with the Giants getting into WA at that particular stage?
So we have been working really closely with the WA government, with WAPOL and also the government itself and the CHO. So we've been able to put some arrangements in place and, you know, again, we're 5 weeks away. So if we need to discuss further what those arrangements might be able to be tweaked or changed or tinkered, using your language, to be able to, again, keep not only the players safe but the community, then we'll do that. But, you know, again, we're 5 weeks away. We've got a very robust testing regime, which also includes the vaccination side of things with all of our playing group and staff as well. So that, from a compliance point of view, is all up to speed.
What about the pay bracket for all the players this year? Have we seen an increase across the board?
Yeah, we have. We've had an increase year on year. We're at the last year of a 3-year CBA. And that CBA has seen not only the seasons get longer by a week in the home and away in our finals and our 3 weeks, So we started in 2017 with just 6 home and away rounds. So we're now at 10-3, and there has been uplift in pay. So there's a new CBA that will be negotiated for season 7 onwards. And we actually have 18 clubs starting in season 7 as well, with the last 4 licences having been awarded. So it's pretty exciting. It takes the playing group from 420 to 540, which is just phenomenal. To think 6 years ago we didn't have any women players that were contracted by AFL clubs to play football.
And the early negotiations of that CBA, is it looking positive for a big payday when they do get to the table?
So our focus is very much on delivering the 2022 season and making sure that not only the home and aways occur, but we move into that finals and award a premier. So we will be negotiating in the coming months, but right now our focus is on the season.
Just one thing for me, Nicole, and we've had a scenario which you would know, I'm sure, well and truly about, is our West Australian Football League reserves competition. We've got, of course, our amateur and community football competition, and we've got our AFLW competition, but none of the seasons are aligned. I think that one of the areas that needs a massive amount of work is trying to align the whole growth pathways for women's footy. Is there any chance that you can see that, you know, the waffle and the amateurs and the community footy and AFL can all be aligned at some stage in the not too distant future, particularly when we're going to have every club involved in the AFL?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought process. I mean, we're certainly trying to find some clear air for AFLW to be able to build, to not have AFL fans choosing between men's and women's football. One of the things I will say, with those 420 players that we have on contract right now, I mean, they've finished their football commitments from a playing point of view at the elite game, and we want them to play their best footy at the elite game and really save it up for there once they get to that level, is that then we have 420 ambassadors, coaches, you know, they're out into the community and inspiring young girls and women and men as well, and normalising football, for women playing football, that is. So whilst I do hear often people talking about the need to align community and AFLW, AFLW actually plays nicely into that period of time where women and girls are registering for football at community level. So they see their heroes on tally, just like I did when I was a little girl, seeing, you know, the swimmers that I wanted to be like, and then they'll go and sign up for a club. So, you know, there is some method in that to be able to stimulate registration, but also to be able to have our AFLW players play a role in being much more visible through the community season. We haven't got to do that at the moment because of COVID for the last 2 years, but that's definitely something that we would like to try to work through.
Well, I suppose the hardest part is for those train-on players and those that don't get a game is they don't actually have a game to play because there is no reserves competition going alongside.
Yeah, most of those train-ons are either in an under-18. There's not too many 17-year-olds on that train-on group. In fact, they need to be nominated for the draft, so I need to actually correct myself on that, so they must be 18. But they're either playing in a state league competition or, you know, they have been part of an AFLW club and potentially haven't been retained. So, yeah, there are other ways for them to... And they've started their state league. Many of them have started their state league preparation as well. So at least that state league timing for training and pre-season seems to be a fairly similar time frame.
Nicole, a few months back, on the back of the grand final here in the West, I floated the idea of the women's grand final being permanently moved, maybe here, to Optus Stadium. Do you think there'd be an appetite for that? And do you think in time, as the game grows, that it could become a feasible idea?
You had a smile on your face then, didn't you, when you said the AFL Grand Final in the West?
Yeah.
It was fantastic to watch, to see WA host the AFL Grand Final. Right now, we are forging our own traditions, and whilst there's a lot of interest in the AFLW Grand Final, right now, in 2022, it's the highest finishing team in the home and away that make it through to the Grand Final that have the right to host. Whether or not we continue to do that in years moving forward, that's yet to be seen. But certainly this year, that's what we're doing. And some of those great moments have been either, you know, heading off to Adelaide Oval or heading off to Icon Park for the Bulldogs win in the grand final. So at the moment, we're forging our own traditions. You guys have to finish. You have to finish top and you have to get into the grand final. Then we can come across and be at one of your beautiful venues.
Well, if we weren't on the road for 3 weeks, we probably would, but that's a different story. And it's not your fault. We know that. But who wins? Who do you think is the favourite going into this season?
Oh, look, there's so many good teams in there. You know, Melbourne have been in the hunt for such a long time, and I see Brisbane had been in the hunt and then finally won it last year. Look, I'm proud that women's footy is going to lead it out in 2022 because so many people are waiting for football to come back and to have women's footy in the summer holidays and people coming back. You know, I'm going to say it every time that football, women's football's the winner.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
I'll leave you with that corny line.
Yeah, that's
you.
Fine. Take care. Good on you. Nicole Livingston joining us here on Sports Day, General Manager of Women's Footy. And it is nice to hear that the competition is going to get underway and that we're going to expand the competition. But the only thing that concerns me is alignment and allowing those girls that are fighting for a spot to be able to play some footy alongside. I think that in the future, that is how I would like to see the structure evolve so that, you know, all the girls are playing at the same time. I understand that gives the top girls a chance to go out and promote the game, but they can do that during a season, I feel, anyway.
Are you set on the current spot for AFLW? So it was due to be in December and we get more teams, four more teams next year, so it's going to have to start early December through this period. Are you set on that?
Yeah, look, I do think that it needs to be, well, it has to be in the summer. Otherwise, it's not going to get the breathing space that it needs in what is a very busy winter schedule. And you've got to consider that there's NRL and there's AFL and these popular sports. Whilst we've got that on the West Coast with AFL, we've got to remember that in a couple of those markets they're trying to break into up there in Queensland and New South Wales, that this is the time to sort of strike. So from a women's footy perspective, where the growth in the game is, particularly in those northern states of Australia,
I'd be open to seeing it starting the bye round of the men's final series. So they would then have a big kickoff, and then you're not competing against all the teams because from that moment on, you've only got four games, two games, two games, and then, of course, the grand final. So you could do that. Maybe have a week off for the grand final and then continue on through those end of the winter months.
We need a clear commitment on the other side. We'll come back and we will tell you what's coming up after 7 o'clock here on Sports Day.